We are on the clock now,
people.
We are definitely on the clock now, and there's something we got to do about it. Yesterday, I got a flat tire on the way home. I made it home, though. That's the crazy part. Like, I was probably around 5 to 7 minutes away from the house, and I get off the freeway. I turn down a couple of streets, and as soon as I hit this one straightaway street that I go down to get home, I'm roughly about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles away, and my tire light came on. And so normally, you know, I'll check and see which tire it is. And 9 times out of 10, it's a slow leak, though, you know, and it won't be, you know, the air pressure won't be too far off from where it should be. And I checked, you know, all my tires is at 30, like 37, 38. I look at this tire, back passenger tire, and it's at 26. And like, again, I said I was about a mile and a half away from the house. It was at 26%. I'm just saying it in different type of terms, the air pressure, that is, 26. By the time I got home, it was at 6%. Now, the reason why I said like 5 minutes is because I had to drive slower. But when I pulled up, and I got to pull up directly in front of my house, directly in front of it. It was just an open spot for me to park right there. And I was seconds away from, you know, my rim basically meeting the pavement. Not to say my tire did not explode, but the air pressure went down that fast. And I said this would happen on the day that the Celtics won a championship. Now, I didn't watch a lot of the game. I didn't. I tuned in for a little bit. There was a point where they were up by 20, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty much over, you know. And earlier, before I headed home, I was talking to somebody who is a Celtics fan. And I said, you know what? If Dallas ends up winning this game, do understand if they make it to a game six, that game six is just going to be as big as that game seven, right? If it gets to that point. But I said, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want y'all to win at all. I think y'all have a better chance of a much higher chance of winning it regardless, right? But I would love to see a game six. I would love to see a game. That would be the one of the most biggest game six that we have seen in a while. Well, that didn't happen. That did not happen. The Celtics did win a championship. I'm not recording on my system, or else I would have played the classic fuck Boston rant that was from the show that the Lakers show that we came out with a couple of years ago, Winning Time. And then you have the classic fuck Boston rant. And this is right before we played Boston in the championship. What was that? 87? Somewhere around there. No, I want to say it was earlier than that. Anyhow, it doesn't matter which year that was. We say it every year. It doesn't matter which championship or which season, whatever it is, we say it every year. Fuck Boston. And shout out to my boy Greggy. You know what I'm saying? He is definitely a Celtics fan. And we've been talking on and off about this since the series started. And he believed that it was a scripted finals himself, and that he thought that Dallas would push it to a game seven. And everybody would have loved a game seven, because I think a game seven would have fell on a Sunday, right? But he thought it was script. He thought that the way the games went, he thought it was going to go a totally different way. He thought Dallas was going to steal a game in Boston, and Dallas was going to push it to a game seven. And that didn't happen. So in his favor, and he did go live yesterday, or he probably was already live watching the game and on TikTok. And I said, no, I told myself, I will never congratulate the Boston Celtics. I will never congratulate the Boston Celtics. Now, shout out to Jason Tatum. That championship meant a lot to him. It means a lot. You could tell he was emotional. And as all players get emotional, doesn't matter if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. you're going to get emotional because it's a milestone. It's a huge accomplishment. It's hard work. It seems like it's even, I wouldn't necessarily say it's harder now, but seeing what today's game is, where there's a lot more injuries that go into play. And it just seems like 82 games in the season is just too much for these new cats, right? So the journey looks more difficult, but in all honesty, it's just we have a different caliber of players now. And, you know, one of the debates on the side is who should be looked at. And it was on both sides, but mainly for the Celtics because they went up 3-0. And then mainly for the Celtics, who would get the finals MVP? Unanimously, everybody said Jaylen Brown. He is the one who has stepped up, less talking, you know, and no slight to Tatum, but it was one of those things where that particular Batman had to play the Robin role in this particular series because Jaylen Brown just showed up, shut up, and did what he had to do. In second place, a lot of people have voted Jrue Holiday. And I agree as well. I mean, this is at that time, he was the only player on that roster with championship experience. You know what I mean? And it's just championship experience because outside of that, we've seen the Celtics come up short a couple of times. You know what I'm saying? In the Eastern Conference Finals and losing to Golden State. At some point, you know, they were talking about breaking up this team. They never blew up the team, but they just got rid of a couple of key pieces that we thought helped shape the Celtics and who they were, you know, but come to find out it worked for the better because they end up getting a much experienced, battle-tested defensive point guard who can also play offense as well, and Jrue Holiday. I'll never congratulate Boston. For as long as I'm here on this earth breathing great air, I will never, never say congratulations to the Boston Celtics. I will acknowledge some of the players. I will, because Jaylen Brown, always been a fan of his. Jason Tatum has never rubbed me the wrong way. Pause if needed, but definitely one of my favorites in the league. As far as players, Jrue Holiday, I'm biased towards that. Former UCLA point guard, you know what I mean? And there's other players throughout the ride. And the Horford, too. You know, shout out to Horford for being one of us, being one of the older guys who keeping the younger guys intact. And he deserved it. And that's another discussion, too, when we started talking about the players who deserve to have a championship. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not here to do what a lot of people like to do when it comes to accomplishments and championships off the bat. You know what I mean? And that is, well, where do we put Jason Tatum? I don't even think that discussion comes up. You know, I think, you know, just for barbershop purposes, people are going to talk about how that finals MVP hurts his legacy. I don't know if I'm going to be a part of that talk. I don't even think he cares, you know, as well as Boston Celtic fans. They don't care if he didn't win the finals MVP. I mean, their guy is Jaylen Brown as well. They just so happen to put together a roster with their two main guys on 1A, 1B. You know what I mean? I think because of the expectations on Jason Tatum's shoulder, where they drafted him, and basically giving him the keys to the car, I think a lot of people on the outside expected him to be the guy. But I think it's a perfect situation, a perfect problem to have when the guy that you drafted to be the guy is not the main guy, but that's okay because the second in demand knows that he can be the guy. You know, I mean, it's just other little knickknacks and stuff like that. It's just Tatum might be more marketable and things like that. But I think what separates Jaylen Brown from Jason Tatum is their lifestyles off the court is just different. You know what I mean? Not to say that one is better than the other, but Jaylen Brown has shown over the past couple of years that he's more than just a basketball player. Not saying that Jason Tatum is, but Jaylen Brown shows you his ability of being elite or just a different type of professional outside of his professional career. You know what I mean? Speaking at Harvard, teaching the class at Harvard, teaching kids and coming up with his own businesses and business ventures and like challenging himself. You know, he could retire from basketball today and he would be good. Now, outside of that 300 that they gave him, which majority, even myself, said, oh, my God, that's a lot. That's a lot of bread, but it ended up paying off. You know what I mean? That's the sacrifice that you make by spending that much bread on players that you invested and believe in. And again, at one point, remember, we were talking about the past couple of years. We had been talking about the Celtics blowing up that situation, maybe separating the two, because they did what a lot of teams don't do. They stuck with it. And then to other teams' defenses is, for example, you bring up Atlanta. Shout out to 12 Cal. And all this season, and I'm pretty sure in the offseason, they're going to be talking about splitting up Trae Young and Murray, Devontae Murray. And for some people, rightfully so. For other people, it's like, well, shouldn't you just try to build around these two pieces? And that's basically what it is. Every team is not as difficult as it looks. It's just difficult on finding the right pieces. But the formula is you go get your superstar or you go get your two superstars, hope that they could be phenomenal co-workers. Just you can even go over there to Dallas. A lot of people didn't feel like the backcourt of Luka and Kyrie would work, but it actually did until it didn't. You know what I mean? But it did work, you know? And you go get your two star players and then you build around them. But now you have to have a discussion of who team does it belongs to. I think the Celtics did a phenomenal job of saying, let's not get into that discussion. We know who Tatum is and we know what Jaylen is. Let them just play. And I think they did that. If I got to give any compliment and any type of respect to the Celtics, I would say they did it that way. Will it work in the future? Maybe. Maybe. I mean, outside of... I've been on the other side as a Laker fan where they said, well, y'all got to the finals, this, that, and the third because of this team didn't have this person, this team didn't have this person. And then this has probably been the most banged up Eastern Conference journey the Celtics has ever experienced. That's not their fault, though. You know, whoever's ever out there, you deal with upsets, you deal with injuries. That's just the nature of the playoffs. The Celtics is not worrying about, hey, this team is not fully healthy, so let's take it easy on them. Like, no. Get them out of the way. The Pacers had never been there. The Knicks are very disappointing with their expectations. Philly dealt with injuries and, you know, the rise and the fall of the fucking Bucks, you know, with them doing a swap with Dame with Dame going to the Bucks and then, you know, Drew Holiday going to the Celtics. It just worked out, you know, for the Celtics more than Dame going to the Bucks worked out. You know what I mean? So, but at the end of the day, the East crumbled how it crumbled. You know what I mean? And to Boston's credit, they took advantage of it because we always say over here on the West, we don't care what happens over here in the East. Ain't nobody beating one of these West teams. And for a minute, a lot of people felt like Minnesota was the strongest team because they did take out the former champs. Not only that, they just felt like, you know, and Minnesota was also one of the top ranked defensive teams. And they felt like it would have been a much better matchup for this. But that's just in retrospect. You know what I mean? Or just wanting to see Anthony Edwards on a much larger stage to see how he would perform in the finals. But again, everybody was cool with seeing Luka And I'm a Luka fan, and seeing Kyrie back on a big stage and seeing, yo, can he win it without Bron? That's going to be a discussion, whether it's fair or not. Luka, you know, you have distanced yourself from the Trae Young nemesis or comparisons. Now it's time for you to go to the next level. His defense got exposed pretty much all playoffs, but we're not talking about that. We're talking more about the finals. Got exposed. And it was to the point where he had to apologize, to the point where Jason Kidd had to call him out. It would be kind of weird if Kyrie was to move on. I wouldn't doubt that he would, but I would understand if he just stayed and was just wanting to build on that, although he is getting older. Where does he want to end his career at? You know, I would get back to the Celtics in a minute because it's more about them than anything else. But that is a discussion to talk about because, again, I'm on the side of the Celtics when I say they just stayed with their core and they added some key pieces. Dallas should do the same thing, right? You would think Dallas would do the same thing, but that's not the problem. I don't think the pieces that Dallas has is a problem. I think it was one of their superstars in Luka. Luka has phenomenal offense. That defense is below subpar. And he has to fix that. And a lot of it is just effort. It's not even the ability. Because truth be told, here's a secret to a lot of people. A lot of players in the NBA don't know how to play proper defense. And then there's rules in place for you not to play physical defense to allow you to play some great defense. You know what I'm saying? The hand checking, being on the player's hip and stuff like that. You can't really do that in the league because they'll call a foul. You know what I mean? So I think it discourages players from playing proper defense, but at the same time, a lot of these cats was taught how to play proper defense. And you will say, well, they've been playing basketball all their lives. Man, you got to understand, a lot of players just worked on their strengths. A lot of players play for programs that didn't work on their weaknesses. And you would be surprised how many players that's in the league that can't use both hands. A lot of players in the league that still don't know how to shoot, can't make free throws. You know what I mean? Can't remember plays. And it's just like that because they have some type of ability, some natural ability that helped them get there. Effort, whatever the case may be. You know, we knew cats that was in the league that only thing they did was play great defense and shoot threes. Dennis Rodman wasn't the best offensive player, but he could rebound his ass off and he was undersized. And he just had effort. He had energy. He had work. He had the determination to be one of the best rebounders in the game. At 6'7"? You know what I'm saying? 6'7", maybe 6'7", I would say, because Bron is 6'8". You know, Dennis Rodman anywhere between 6'7", maybe 6'7.5", 6'7", you know, and it was nowhere near as big as Bron or whatever, but was a pivotal rebounder, defensive, offensive. I remember on his birthday, I forgot what year it was, but it was when he was with the Bulls, and he knocked down three three-pointers for his birthday that game. You know what I mean? So, again, some cast, Patrick Beverley is another example. A monster in high school or whatever. Got to the league, he had to play his part. Not the best offensive player. You know, and truth be told, not one of the best defensive player, but he's a defensive pest. I wouldn't call him a defensive specialist. I just call him a defensive pest. And whatever he did, he did it. He did it good enough to be on teams, to be on a roster, not a championship roster, but on a roster nonetheless. So it's just one of those things where Luka is just a superstar, but I don't think his offense is going to hide his defense. Even Curry. You know, they took a championship away from Curry because of his defense. Two, actually, you know, remember, I mean, he couldn't hold down the fort just by himself. Nobody can, really. But, you know, the Toronto series, they ran a 1-2-2 on that boy, a 1-2-2 box, and it was nothing he could do, let alone on defense. And then you go to the series where the Cavs beat them when they were down 3-1. He got exposed. Now, again, Kyrie is one of the greatest ball handlers, layup packages having of all time. So, I mean, to his credit, he tried to keep up, but you couldn't hide you couldn't hide Curry on defense. A lot of these cats can't play defense that well. And some of it is just these offensive players is that good. And some of it is the rules that's in place. And some of it is because they never learned how to play properly. And a lot of them that do know how to play defense and don't want to, James Harden, is because the lack of effort and they're trying to save some of that energy. It's a special thing when your star player can play both ways, can go down there and drop anywhere between 25 to 35 a game and then go on defense and contribute as well. And I think that's what Jaylen Brown does. I think Jaylen Brown, his identity for a minute was, I'm going to play a lot of defense and I can play offense as well. You know what I mean? And Tatum was brought over there for some offensive. He was drafted for some offensive power, not really known for his defense. Not to say that he can't play it, but he's not known for it. When you say Jason Tatum, defense is not popping out of my head. When I think of Jaylen Brown, defense is. But he's also an above average offensive player. You know what I mean? So to me, that's the player that I'm rocking with. And apparently that's who everybody was rocking with because he got the finals MVP. But again, it ain't no special shout out. I give a special shout out to the players individually, especially Jrue Holiday, because he's from the West. He's from L.A. But at the end, and it was a joke saying, yo, Jrue Holiday from L.A., he supposed to sabotage this. But shout out to those players, man. Never shout out to the organization. I will never. And as much love as we'll go is when I seen Bill Russell wear Kobe's jersey, you know, but that's, we know what that is. You know what I mean? When it comes to us, you know, paying respect to the fallen, it will always be there. You know what I'm saying? It will always be there. But as far as the organization and the city, it will always be fuck Boston.